So this message and this idea has been on my mind here for a couple weeks, and so we're gonna do our best to give you what the Lord would have. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This is the writer, Paul, from chapter 1, verse 1. We can see that this man, Paul, is writing to Timothy, this young man who Paul led to the Lord and was instrumental in growing Timothy and teaching Timothy and sending Timothy out to have spiritual responsibilities in different churches. And so Paul is writing these letters to Timothy and to this young man, and he is encouraging him. He is letting him know some things that are going to be going on that he's going to run into. He's continuing to teach and to care for Timothy here. So in chapter 2, in verse number 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That he may please him. That's the phrase, that's the idea this morning that I want to preach a message on, to please him. To please him. And we can see in Timothy, as Paul says this to Timothy, but we also understand from the scriptures that if you are saved and born again, if you are a child of God, that you are a soldier in the Lord's army. And we try to teach the young kids that from a very young age in junior church when they're in there learning songs. And we say, and we teach them the song, "The Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy." And these all have, of course, these have motions, right? You can't have a kid's song without doing something with their arms and legs, right? "But I'm in the Lord's Army." Yes, sir. There we go. "I'm in the Lord's Army." That's how the song says, "I'm in the Lord's Army." And then it repeats it. And we try to get even the children to understand that there is a responsibility, there is something that the Lord places in us, that when we become saved and born again, there's something, that there's a responsibility that we have as Christians. And the Bible talks about that, enduring hardness as a good soldier of who? Of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the soldiers that have signed up and went as a voluntary into the military and have some paid with their lives. I'm thankful for those that have done that. But those of us that have never done that, or those that have and are saved and born again, we're still enlisted. We're still enlisted in the Lord's army. And the Bible says that no man, verse 4, that warreth, that's someone that's fighting the good fight. That's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith." That's what Paul says. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Paul says, just in a couple chapters over in chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but Paul says, I'm come to the end. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course." Right? He says, I've fought a good fight. There is a fight to be had. There is a war that we should be engaged in. And that's for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus in the battles should be to please the Lord. To please the Lord. Listen, if you try to serve the Lord for somebody else, if you try to serve the Lord for your parents to make them happy, or your spouse because they prefer it, or your friends and the peer pressure, or the preacher, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, listen, you won't serve the Lord until the end. You won't finish the course. We have to fight a good fight. We have to war a good warfare. And that purpose is to please the Lord. And if we can have that before us, then everything else that is around is secondary. When Christians come and when Christians go and when preachers disappoint and when friendships fall apart and when all the things in this life happen, if we can just keep our eyes on the Lord and we're serving Him to please Him with our lives, then everything else that happens will be secondary to pleasing the Lord. And that's what we should do. And unfortunately, if we're not trying to please the Lord, as soon as there is enough opposition, or things become too hard, or somebody makes fun of you, you'll go AWOL. You'll go missing in the battle for the Lord, unless it's to please Him. If you're serving the Lord to please Him, then you realize this thing is between you and Him. It's between you and Him. This idea of serving the Lord. And the reality is, in this life, we're either going to please the Lord or we're going to please ourselves. That's what it comes down to. That's what every decision that we make comes down to. Are we pleasing the Lord? Are we fighting the good fight? Are we a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are we entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life? Or are we trying to please Him? To please Him. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, we're going to read a few verses here and hopefully bring home the point with this story in 2 Samuel 23. So if you're there, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the message. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to be in church. Thank You for the health to be here. Thank You for the ability to be here. Thank You, Lord, for a church where the doors are open and the lights are on. And Lord, the Word of God is opened. And Lord, we ask that You would bless it. Lord, we ask that You would bless Your Word. Lord, we ask that You, Your Holy Spirit, would have free reign to move and speak to hearts and minds of those that are here. And Lord, thank You for those that have come. Thank You for those that have walked through those doors and taken time out of today to come, Lord. And they didn't come to hear Me, Lord. They've come to hear from You. And Lord, there might be someone here that need to hear from You. And they need help and they need encouragement, Lord. They need something from You. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to them. Lord, no matter what's in my notes and no matter what's being said, Lord, from my mouth, I pray You'd protect it. You'd guard my mouth. You'd allow me to say right things. But Lord, I pray that Your Word would speak loudly and clearly to each and every one of us, and that You'd provide for us what we need. Lord, I pray that You would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of Your people. Lord, when we leave this place, we would know that You've spoken to us, and we would be thankful, and we'd praise You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse number 14. Now, 2 Samuel 23 is a chapter of David's mighty men. So this is going back here, and this is talking about some warriors that David had, some real warriors carrying swords and shields or plucking spears out of Egyptians' hands and killing them with it. There's all kinds of cool stuff in this chapter. All right, but we're going to look here in just this one portion, starting in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?' Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." So in this story, in this little section here, just these few verses, 14 through 17, we get the idea of these three mighty men that David had. And we can get some individual stories from the verses beforehand. And we get, of course, a lot of names in this chapter of those that have done things and those that were tough and those that stood for something. And listen, in this battle for the Lord, there's things worth standing for. There's things we're standing for and standing on and saying, I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to go backwards. If anything, I'm going to go forward and take ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things to stand for. And there are many enemies. There are many enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the gospel and of you. If you're standing for the gospel, you might run across some opposition to stand for Christ. And it's worth fighting the right enemies in the right way, realizing that our weapons are not carnal, right, but they're spiritual, and breaking down of strongholds and doing these things. There are battles and there are enemies that are worth fighting, but we see a completely different story here, a completely different idea once we get to verse 14 down through verse 17. And what we have here is we have David is at this point, he's running from the Philistines. They have taken over some different land and battle as David was a king. And Bethlehem is the place where David grew up. And his father, Jesse, is the Bethlehemite. All right, so David grows up around Bethlehem. And the Philistines are now there. It was once a city of Judah, and now the Philistines are there, and they've taken over. And they've desecrated, and of course they don't worship God, and David's in a hold. He's kind of holed up and buried himself in there with some mighty men and those that are around him. And he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, and he's Bible says he's longing. You see that in verse 15? And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And he knows they're held up for protection, but yet over there where he grew up as a boy and the things that he remembered and the places where God had blessed and when he was out in the pastures and raising the sheep as a young boy and talking to God and playing the harp and singing songs unto God. You remember the stories of David as a young boy. He's thinking back and he's remembering those times and he's remembering those fondly and he's saying out loud, man, there's nothing like a drink from that well of Bethlehem. There's nothing like it. Who knows how many times as a boy or as a young man that he had went there and had come out of the fields or had been doing who knows what and had come and stopped at this well that he spoke of, at the well of Bethlehem, and got that drink. And man, that was, he was remembering, you know, as we often say, the good old days. He was remembering those times when it was easier. He was remembering those times when he had very little responsibilities. He remembered those times when things were sweet between him and God. And he remembers man going there and getting a drink of that water and just thinking, man, that's refreshing. And he's thinking back to all the other times. You know what it's like if you have a well and you're used to drinking the water from your well, you go somewhere else and you drink water from somewhere else and you're like, this isn't as good as my well. Like every person that's ever owned a well has said that. I used to have this boss, and when I lived in Florida, and would do electrical, and he would always have this 5-gallon, you know, igloo on the back of his truck, and we'd be working sometimes in the heat, and he'd always be telling us, he's like, "Men, you need to get a drink. Men, keep fluid, you know, keep liquid in you." And we were out there, and he'd pull up, and he'd have these cups or whatever, and he'd put that in there, and he called me Michael, you know, he said, "Michael," he's like, "you like that water?" I said, yeah, it's wet, you know. And he's like, that's well water from my land. You don't get water like that anywhere else. I was like, all right. People call me a water snob because I like certain brands of bottled water. Well, people are a whole different level of water snobs, right? And so, but I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it. I mean, it's a blessing to have that. But you can understand. You can understand. He says, man, there's nothing like that water. And what's he doing? He's thinking about it. And he's longing for it. He's longing for that water. And what happens here? Well, I don't know the exact story. I have my own version that I'll give to you. All right? I have my own version. But I don't know how the word got out. But word got out to one or a couple of those mighty men. Maybe they're around the corner. Maybe they were there serving David. Maybe they were on guard and watching the hold there. And someone heard David say, man, if I could just have a drink of that water right now.
If I could just, I mean, I'm sure he was longing to be there and to be drawing that water himself and to know that Bethlehem was in the right hands and it wasn't under the enemy. But he was saying, man, if I could just have a drink of Bethlehem right now. And one or a couple of those soldiers heard that and they said, all right. Now remember, these weren't the average soldier. These were the mighty men. And one or more of those soldiers says he hears that, and maybe he was on guard, like I said, and he gets off work and he goes to some of his buddies. And if you read the story here, all of these guys were insane. All right? All these guys had something a little loose up there. They looked for a problem. And one of these guys comes to his buddies and says, hey, I have an idea. You looking for some trouble? I know. It's kind of, we're just hanging out here. It's kind of boring. I got an idea. What I heard was the king say that he was longing and wishing and desiring for a drink from the well of Bethlehem. And a couple of his buddies said, I think I see where you're going. Let's do this thing. All right, so what happens? So here are these three. And I imagine on the way down to Bethlehem, where the enemy was holed up, I imagine going down to Bethlehem, they were thinking to themselves a little bit, why are we doing this thing? Wait a minute, so the enemy's there, they've taken over Bethlehem, and we're going to sneak in there, and we're going to fight who we have to fight. Who's ever standing at the gate isn't a friend of ours. And we're going to have to get in there and get some water out of the well and get it back to David. That's the plan. Why are we doing this again? And I imagine on the way, what happens? Boy, they start talking about David. They start talking about what a good king he is. They start talking about the battles. The battles that David had led them into. The love that David had for his men. How David cared and looked out and protected his men as best as possible. How David, when it was in his hands to do so, he would provide. And they'd be telling stories why they were with David and why they were protecting David and why they were following David. And they realized, man, David's a great king. David was a great king to them. He was a great example of a warrior, a great example of one that could reach out to God and get a hold of the Lord and weep when it was necessary to weep and rejoice and lift up the Lord and praise him for all things. And they said, man, David is a great example. Why in the world would they go through all of that must be entailed in this story for some water? I mean, you can let your own Hollywood mind go free as they come down and come out of the shadows to go to the well and have to pull out the sword and carry the shield. I wonder if they fought over who was going to carry the bucket. You know? In my mind, I picture the well sitting outside of Bethlehem and, you know, get your own well, all right? But my mind just pictures one of those wishing wells, you know, that has like the little crank on the side with the bucket. You know, whatever they're drawing up the bucket of water. One of them's drawing up the water and two of them are fighting off the Philistines. As soon as they sound the alarm and they start pouring out of the gate and they're there by the gate and the two of them are fending the enemy off, and they're sitting there, and now the rope's tied to the, you know, we got to get away with the bucket, you know, and they cut the rope off, and they start heading out and fighting their way through, and then they got to run from the enemy. Don't spill it. You imagine that story would be all way different. That story would probably be about one less mighty man if the guy carrying a bucket tripped and spilled all the water. I don't know how it all went down, but I know it cost them something. David understood it cost him something. He said, this represents the blood of the men that went and got this bucket of water right here. And why'd they do it? They did it to please him. They did it to please the king. They did it to please David. Decisions that these mighty men made by love and thankfulness and gratitude and obligation to the Lord. A decision to please our Lord and Savior is not carried out on accident. It's not an accident if you decide to please the Lord. It's not an accident if you decide to be something like these three mighty men and seek out to do something for the Lord that pleases him and to do what's right. It doesn't happen on accident. Maybe they invited some other men, say, hey, we're going to go down, the more the merrier. Let's go down and fight the Philistines to get our king a drink of water. Maybe some said, no thanks, you guys are crazy. They would have been right. The mighty men had to do a couple things, at least three things, in order to please David by getting the water from Bethlehem. And I want to preach on those three things this morning. I like to say this, number one. These three men, you know what they had to do? They had to take the king's wishes personal. Personal. They had to decide that when they heard and found out something that was going to please the king, they had to make that personal. It wasn't just good for anybody or anything. They took it personal. I know what he wants, and I'm going to do it. I know what would please the king. Consider it done, or we'll die trying. That was a real option. They could have perished, and they could have died doing what? Trying to get some water out of a well. It wasn't that David didn't have any water. This wasn't life or death. You understand that, right? This wasn't life or death. This was our king said he wanted that water, and we're going to go do it. Why? Because it pleases him. Because he desires it. Because he's a good king. Because he's right. Because we follow him. Because our allegiance is to David. Because we're fighting on his side. Because God's with him and we're with him. That's why they were deciding to do it. But they had to take it personal. They had to take it personal. It was something that they had to say in themselves, I'm willing to go do this thing. Let's sword up. Let's get our shields. Let's go down there. Let's cause some trouble and bring back some water for our king. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like, but man, when we give that water to him, I bet those guys were just standing there like this. We did it. Grown men are still little boys. Right? Little boys accomplish something. They pick a flower for their mom. They come in. You know, some weed from the yard, you know. Mom's like, oh, my goodness, that's amazing. A young boy's like, yep. I did it. I'm going to go fight the bad guys outside. And boy, those soldiers came in carrying that bucket. What was that for? It was to please the king. Listen, the Bible tells us there's some things that please God. The foolishness of preaching the gospel pleases the Lord. And he calls it foolishness because to the world it seems crazy. Putting our faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The free gift of eternal life offered by the death of Jesus Christ for your sins. That we all have. Accepting Christ and getting saved and preaching the gospel. It says it pleases him through the foolishness of preaching. Being able to tell a lost sinner that they can be saved and that they can have a home in heaven, and that they can become a child of God and live in the blessings and the protection of God Almighty, and have a book that the Holy Spirit of God, once you get saved, He dwells inside of you and He starts to speak to you through His Word. What happens? You know what? Salvation pleases God. And the preaching of His Son's death, burial, and resurrection, it pleases God. It pleases the Lord. The Bible says to do good and to give, communicate, the Bible says, it pleases the Lord. It pleases Him to do those things. To live trusting God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Trusting in the Lord, and we don't see everything laid out before us, and we don't have the long answers, and we don't exactly know what's going on, but there's a tugging in our heart of what God desires of us, and we do that thing. There's a walk that pleases the Lord. When we walk according to His will, and when we walk according to the Spirit. Jesus Christ Himself said, I do always those things that please Him. Speaking of the Father. Jesus Christ, our greatest example, He said, you know what I do? I please Him. I please the Father. That's what Jesus Christ did. And what did He do? He lived holy. He resisted sin. Well, if He did everything that pleases the Father, then what should we do? We should try to live holy. We should try to resist sin in our lives. You know what we can do? We can read His Word. We can open up the Scriptures and read His Word daily. What does that do? It pleases Him. He speaks to us. And in prayer, we can speak to Him. And we can have communion with God. And we can have fellowship with God. And that pleases the Lord. We can sing praises to Him. We can deny self. We can come to church. We can encourage the saints. We can be faithful. It pleases the Lord. But what do we have to do? We have to make it personal. We have to make it personal. That's on us. We have to make it personal. I'll say this secondly, what these three mighty men had to do is they had to prioritize the king. That seems simple enough. They weren't going for a drink. They might have taken one just to spite the Philistines while they were there. I can picture that happening. Hey. But they prioritized the king. That's why they went to get the water. Wouldn't it have been easier to stay in the tent? Wouldn't it have been easier to be safe? Wouldn't it have been easier to hear about what David wanted, but then go over with his buddies and talk about the old victories? The times that they defended the field of lentils and fought the Egyptians and jumped down and took a lion and smote him. Wouldn't it have been easy to use past successes as an excuse? That'd have been easy, right? I do enough. I'm better than so-and-so. None of that would have got water. Oh, they'd have felt good about themselves. Those mighty men would have sat there and said, well, we are the mighty men, by the way. We're not even the regular enlisters. Like we're big shots in this thing. We're tough. We've proven ourselves. I don't have to prove myself again. But guess what? These guys weren't proving themselves. These guys weren't proving themselves to each other or to themselves or to anybody else. They didn't have anything to prove. They were already the mighty men. And other people would have looked at them and been like, yep. That guy's different. These guys did it, why? To please the king. They prioritized the king, is what happened. It was the king first. The king first. You know, it gets old seeing Christians put God second, at best, behind themselves. Yeah. It gets old. It gets old seeing it and praying about it and praying for it. It gets old seeing Christians decide that everything else seems to be more of a priority than the Lord. Everything gets prioritized before Him. If God was counting on you as a soldier to carry out orders, what would get done? Do you ever think about that? Well, one time I know, talking about past victories and talking about how we're Bible believers and we give the missions. But I mean, if the Lord was desiring something and you knew about it, how much would get done to please the Lord? How much of the Lord would be prioritized? Do you know what He wants? When's the last time you prioritized the Lord? When's the last time you said, I'm going to do it? Listen, I mean, some Christians, they feel good for showing up in church. But some people are only here because nothing else came up today. Why? Prioritize the Lord. Either we do or we don't. I mean, He's worth it, right? I don't care who's in here this morning. We can know, and we should be able to nod our heads, whether we're embarrassed or not. We should be able to nod our heads to say He is worth it to prioritize. He is worthy of doing the things that please Him, because when we do what pleases Him, it's better for us anyway. So you can still ride that selfish train. Just do what God wants you to do. It's going to be better for you anyway. But man, pleasing the King comes about prioritizing Him above everything else. Above everything else. Little clue here. This is how marriage works. You know how marriage works? Let me tell you this young couple right here. All right? Some of you, this is old hat. Some of you, all right? Some of you learn by experience the hard way and the easy way. Marriage works by sacrificing self. By prioritizing the other. That's how it works. Because when you prioritize each other, well, you draw closer to one another and you love one another and it's shown and it's evident. But when you prioritize self, you have two individuals going different directions. And that's not good. And in this Christian life, we know that God cares about us. We know that from His Word. We know that from your own testimony about God's goodness to you and salvation and after salvation. He actually places a priority on His children. And we need to prioritize Him. That's how it works. You have to prioritize the King in your life if you're going to please Him. The soldiers had to make it personal. They had to prioritize the King. And lastly, let me say this. They had to prepare to please Him. They had to prepare. Like I said before, it wasn't an accident. They didn't just say, hey, you know what? Let's walk on down there and see what happens. That doesn't happen. There was a plan of attack on Bethlehem. All right, there's three of us, and we don't know how many of them. And so here's what we're going to have to do. All right, whatever the tactic was, whatever they were going to do, the element of surprise, whatever was going to happen, how they were going to fight, and some were going to fight, and one was going to get the water, and maybe one drew it up, and then he was going to fight while the other one cut the rope loose, and then they were going to fight a little bit more until they were finally clear, you know, leave the water on the edge of the well, until they were finally clear and got the enemies to a place where they could turn and run. And go and get to safety. There was some kind of plan. I mean, to not plan is to plan to fail. That's what it is. Swords, shields, food. Needed to have energy. They probably had a backup plan for the plan. What were they being? They were being proactive. Proactive. Where to be and where not to be. And these men had they prepared to go down and get that water. They prepared to please the king. Obeying the Lord and pleasing the Lord and serving him needs preparation. It needs preparation in your life. Where to go and what to avoid for sin. You need to prepare. If you're going to please him by trying to live holy, then don't put yourself in positions to fall and to fail. Don't put yourself in positions of sin to where you're going to fall short of pleasing the Lord.
Right.
It takes preparation. What to do, where to go, what you're putting in your eyes and in your ears, where your feet are taking you. It's preparation. You don't serve God on accident. Wow, this seems really hard. Well, it's because you put yourself surrounded by the enemy. That's harder than putting yourself in the protection of God and in his will and allowing him to help you fight the fights that he brings. I don't want to go look for trouble in serving the Lord. I don't want to put myself in the place of all of my temptations and be like, I'm going to be a tough Christian and hang out right here. No, that's dumb. Why? Because I've been there before. And all of a sudden I have to go back and apologize to the Lord because I failed him when I put myself in the place that was easiest to fail him. I don't think, this isn't like way up here for anybody, right? This is pretty easy things to understand. It's preparation. We make all kinds of preparation for work. We make all kinds of preparation for events and different things. Man, we need to prepare to serve the Lord. If we've prioritized the Lord, if we've made it personal, then what do? We make preparation for it. Listen, Sunday morning is going to come every single week. Sunday school at 9:30, 10:30 main service, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Thursdays, every week. Unless I stand up here and say, hey, we're having a dinner on the grounds. There's not going to be a Sunday night service. Or it's Father's Day. We're not going to have a Sunday night service. And inevitably, someone comes. We're like, whoops. We didn't get the word out to everybody. But it's the same every week. So you know what we can do? Prepare. Prepare for it. Like I tell my kids, you're not staying up all hours of the night if I know about it. On Saturday night. Why? Preparation. Preparation to be here with our eyes open so that we can hear the word of God. That's the preparation. Say, this sounds condescending. Well, sometimes we need reminded of some simple things. We need reminded of some simple things. We should read our Bibles every day. You know what happens? Preparation. Preparation so you have time to read your Bible every day. Well, you wouldn't believe it just got away from me. Well, you knew you should read your Bible every day. So prepare. Get ahead of the curve. I understand. Before I moved here, I was working at least 50 hours a week, plus an associate pastor and several of those duties. I understand when the schedule's full. And 4 kids. I understand when the schedule's full. But what are we doing? Are we soldiers? Are we trying to please him? I understand it's quiet in here. That's the intent. The intent is to get us to think in our hearts and say, what am I doing as a Christian in this life? Man, be proactive. Get things in order. Man, pleasing the Lord just always seems like it's an uphill battle. Well, it is if we always put ourselves at the bottom of the hill. If we put ourselves at the bottom of the hill, everything is going to seem uphill. And there's some things we can do in preparation. Put tracts in your pocket, or in your purse, or in your wallet, or in your car. Why? So that you can have them. I'm terrible at this. They're in my car. And then I get out and run in the store. And I'm like, you idiot. Why? Because I'm not prepared. The Lord says, hey, why don't you give a tract to that person? And I'm not prepared. Why? Because I haven't made the preparation. And I have opportunities to please the Lord, I have opportunities to do things, to give people the gospel, and I don't take them because I'm not prepared. But you have them on you, you make a plan. Write out on a piece of paper a prayer list. Take a 3x5 card and write a prayer list on that card. And then, well, I woke up late, didn't really have time to pray that much this morning. Okay, you drive and look at your phone. Drive and look at your prayer list. Just keep it down here. Right, Brother Murphy? Keep it way down here. All right. He's like, my preacher was telling my people to break the law. Listen, make a prayer list so you can pray. So you can pray for one another. So you can love one another and bear one another's burdens. Make a list, put it down on some paper, put it in your phone. Do whatever you have to do. Come to church early to encourage the saints. What's it take? Preparation. It takes preparation. You know what I've learned? It's summertime, there's going to be traffic. It's just what it's going to be. I mean, what happens? You prepare. You make a plan. You prepare to please the Lord. Listen, when you have 4 kids and everything going 1,000 miles an hour, you know what you need to do? Prepare. That's what you have to do. Right? You have the extra clothes because there's going to be some blowout on the way to church. Right? If you ever had children, you know what that blowout is. I'm not talking about a tire on the side of the road. You wish it was a tire on the side of the road. Something's going to happen. You prepare. You get everything together. You grab and what do? You prepare. Prepare to come to church early and encourage somebody and meet somebody you don't know and shake somebody's hand if you haven't shaken their hand before. Write out your tithe check on the night before. Oh, I forgot my checkbook. Oh, that's convenient. So write it out Saturday night thinking, man, tomorrow's church. What are you doing? You're making preparations, right? Saturday evening, all right, got to do this, got to make sure this is going on, got to make sure this is ready, you got to do this, got to be ready, got to set the alarm and set 3 others, all right, got to do this other thing, preparation for church, please the Lord, be there, hear from the Lord. Oh yeah, we take up an offering every Sunday. So you know what we can do? Okay, Saturday night, all right, just take some time. Saturday night's my only night to be able to, all right. I can't make you do stuff. But when you fail, don't act so shocked. And don't get used to failing. Don't say, well, I failed, so I'm just a failure. Man, get something inside of you and get up and say, that's not happening again. Get some kind of backbone in there and be like, by God's grace, I'm going to be prepared. I'm not going to run into this problem. This thing's not going to get me. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do this for the cause of Christ. And Saturday night, you prepare and you write everything out and you put it in your Bible and I'm ready to go. Maybe it's just something simple throughout the day. I'll tell you what I do. Why? Because I'm safeguarding myself. You know what I have to do on here? I have to take apps and I have to put timers on them so that during the day, I'm not just draining hour upon hour, 10 and 15 minutes at a time, wasting it on this. So I set a timer on my apps and it says, it turns black and white. And I'm like, my goodness, I've been on this long. And then it shuts down and says, you've expired your time for the day. I'll be like, whew, good, okay. Perfect. Why? Because sometimes I'm not disciplined. Sometimes there's something interesting. Sometimes there's something going on. You're on here doing homework because you want to make a purchase and, you know, you're just going to overwhelm yourself with information until you can't even make the purchase now because you're like terrified. I'm going to buy the wrong refrigerator. You know, and you're on there just for hours and hours and hours. Man. Okay. Right? to discipline ourselves. Maybe it's something as simple as that. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. It eats into the time that you should be doing something productive that pleases God. Simple things like that to say, I'm making preparation so that I can please God in my life. These soldiers did their best to please the Lord. Where we were, where we started, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. When's the last time you heard the Lord longing for something? When you knew there was something in your life that the Lord desired of you? I say it to start something, to quit something, to mature past something, to grow in grace, to grow in your walk with the Lord. When's the last time you heard the Lord longing for something in your life and you said, you know what, Lord, consider it done. Consider it done. Maybe you'll be able to get a couple friends together that are also a little loose in the head. You know, it feels good to do something crazy for the Lord every once in a while. It feels good to do something out of the ordinary for God. Well, I'm nervous, I'm uncomfortable, man. It feels good just to do something for God. Say, man, I had this idea about doing something for the Lord. That sounds crazy. We had this crazy idea years ago in New York. When our church was renting from another church, we didn't have our own building yet. And so we had an afternoon service. And we got this idea with a couple guys from the church. I had this idea, and so I floated it out to some of the people with, you know, screws loose for the Lord. I said, you know what we should do on Easter Sunday? We should get a whole bunch of Catholic gospel tracts and go pass them out to the biggest Catholic churches in the Rochester area on Easter Sunday morning. We don't have church, we have free time. So we would go there right in the middle of their services and we would track all the cars. We had a guy in a car, in a getaway car, he was ready to go. He would sit there and wait. Because the closer you got to the doors, the more there would be, you know, a security team or somebody there. Hello, sir. We putting them on the cars. Oh, we got lots of phone calls. There was one of the gentlemen that was with us. We were cutting it close. We're like, service is going to be over soon. We need to do this quick. And we get there, and he is right at the back door. And the door's open. Everyone starts filing out. And he's like, so he walks up and he goes, hello, happy Easter. Here you go. He starts passing to all, as they all start coming out. You know, and then kind of gets in the crowd. Okay, all righty. We're all in the car. Come on, man, you're not going to make it. You know. Again, we were boys. We were men, but we were boys. And we were just having a good time with it. Just doing something crazy for the Lord. Get the gospel out. Doing something crazy for the Lord. When's the last time you said, Lord, consider it done? I heard you, Lord. Consider it done. How many this morning can honestly say, I'm actively trying to please the Lord with my life? I'm actively looking for ways to please God in my life. A change I need to make, something I need to do, something I need to be better at, something I need to prepare, something I need to get back on track to please the Lord. Just kind of, Well, excuse after excuse after excuse, not to do what God wants you to do, not to step up there and please the Savior. Just get in this mediocre, I'll show up and do God a favor every once in a while. I'll open up the scriptures when I have time and read a couple chapters because I'm a good Christian. No, I'm saying, like, get some grit. right, and say, man, he's worth it. I can please him instead of please myself. I can do right instead of making excuses. I can be consistent instead of throwing around with every little thing that comes up. Any little thing that comes up in life gets in the way of me being able to do simple things for the Lord. Made it personal, prioritized, and prepared. You can do that. You can do that. And the Lord can help you do it. And he'd be pleased if you did it. And man, watch the joy in your life when you start prioritizing the Lord and putting him first. Watch the joy that God brings into your life when you put him first in all things. When you say, I'm going to please the Lord. I don't care what anyone else is doing. It doesn't matter who else is doing whatever else. It doesn't matter what I see or hear. I'm just going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm just going to keep trying to please him. I'm just going to keep going forward for him and do what he wants me to do and do what he wants my family to do and those closest around me. I'm just going to keep my eyes focused on forward, and I'm just going to try to please him to the best that I can. Come what may. Let happen what happens. Whatever the adversaries are, we're just going to keep trying to please the Lord. Just keep looking to him and keep making decisions that please our Savior. That's the best life. And one day we're going to stand before him, and we want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we live a life pleasing us, with no thought of the Lord and no priority and no preparation, we're going to get before the Lord and realize we just spent all that time that God gave us doing nothing. And that's going to be a shame. That's going to be a shame. We'll have a few years down here where we thought we were doing everything we wanted, but boy, that's going to be a shame when we stand before the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer this morning. As a piano player comes, I want to just give us a few moments to pray and talk to the Lord. The altar is open. You don't have to come, but the altar is open if you want to speak to him. Whatever the Lord spoke to you about this morning in the message, I know it was pointed.